Lord, we want to thank you so much for your great leadership. You are such a wonderful, awesome, mighty God. You are such a great shepherd. And we just appreciate you so much, Lord. And we depend upon you afresh this morning, Lord. I ask, Lord, that we would be good leaders in whatever area of leadership, whatever sphere of influence you've given each one of us. I pray that we would be good leaders. And that our lives would lead others to you. Teach us how to be better leaders this morning. Challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. This last week, I was in Southern California for our annual Calvary Chapel Senior Pastors Conference. And I love that week. I look forward to the week. It's a time of refreshment for me. And it's great to catch up with all my friends in the ministry all around the country. I love to find out what the Lord is doing and what's happening. And just so you know, Calvary Chapel is doing very well. There are now 1,146 official Calvary Chapel fellowships worldwide. And they are all being used by the Lord. There are many others in the work. They're sprouting up all over the place. And I also wanted to let you know that Chuck Smith is doing great. He's in his 70s, but he is still on fire serving the Lord, and he's a great leader that we have had. And it's always good to get together with my pastor friends and share experiences. You should know that when us pastors get together, we do share stories. We share our war stories. We share our victories. We share our struggles, our trials. We share our embarrassing moments. But it's so good to have that. And I want you to know how grateful I personally am for the leadership that God has placed in my life. I am so grateful for all the leaders that God has used in my life, from a young boy to a teenager to a man to now a pastor. I'm grateful for the leaders that I have in the Calvary Chapel movement. And I got to tell you, good leadership is an absolute gift from the Lord, isn't it? And it's so important. This morning, I do want to speak to you concerning Christian leadership, or leadership in general. I'd like us to take a look at what a good leader is, and that according to the Bible, not according to the world. And my prayer is that this study would help all of us to identify those who are truly called to be leaders in the body of Christ, and to appreciate those leaders and be praying for those leaders. You know, there's a lot of people out there that would love to be your spiritual leader. They're on TV. They write books. They're all over the place. And it's important that we make sure that we're following good quality spiritual leaders. I also pray that this study would help us all to become better leaders, because I believe that each one of us, especially as Christians, are leaders to somebody. There is someone in your life that you influence. There is someone in your life that you lead. And anytime you study leadership skills, you're actually studying life skills. If you can get some of these skills down, my friend, you will be a great leader in your sphere of influence, and you will live a healthy, productive life. So listen up. Consider these skills this morning. Nehemiah is perhaps one of the best examples of a leader in Scripture. Nehemiah was just a godly man, and he was a great leader. In fact, You could take the whole book of Nehemiah and study it as a manual on leadership. Wonderful things to learn from the book. In our passage this morning, Nehemiah's leadership is sort of highlighted. It's sort of summarized. And I find in our passage this morning, 7 marks of quality leadership as exemplified by Nehemiah. So let's read this passage before us. Remember, Nehemiah is writing this book, and he sort of writes it like he's writing in a diary. And in verse 14, Nehemiah writes, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of the Lord, because of the fear of God. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. And at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions, because the bondage was heavy on this people. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." There are 7 marks of quality leadership here. And let me tell you, if you find men and women that have these marks, you've found leaders. And let me tell you, if you want to be a good leader, if you want to be good at living, if you have these 7 marks, you're well on your way. These are important. Mark number 1. Quality leadership is leadership that has been recognized by other people. Good leadership is leadership that has been appointed. It has been made official, so to speak. It carries weight. It carries substance. It's appointed and recognized that somebody is a leader. Very important. George W. Bush is the president of the United States of America. He has that position. He won the vote. He is the president, and that carries clout, that carries weight, right? He has that position. He has that authority. If someone were to come up to you and say, "I don't like George. I think I want to be president. In fact, I am president." Ignore what George would have to say, and you follow me. I'll be your president. What would you say? "You're nuts. You're crazy. Did you win the vote? Your position has no clout. There's no appointment there. You don't carry it. You're not recognized." Nehemiah was a leader who was appointed a leader. He was recognized as a leader. Look in verse 14. "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah." He was appointed. Remember Nehemiah's story. He was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He got word that his Jewish brethren were having a hard time in Jerusalem. The walls were destroyed, and he wanted to go and help them. And he asked the king, and the king said, "You're free to go." And the king appointed Nehemiah as the governor. And that carried clout. And then when he got there, as we've been studying his life, you realize that all the people rallied around him. He was obviously a leader. It was recognized. The verdict went out on Nehemiah, and the verdict came in. Leader. Carries weight. It carries substance. Nehemiah was not a self-proclaimed leader. He was an appointed leader, a recognized leader. Leadership involves that, my friend. If you're one of these people who has to run around and convince everybody that you're a leader, then you're probably not a leader. Why should you have to convince? Or if there is some leader in your life who's always running around trying to convince you that they're a leader, perhaps they're not a leader. It will be recognized. That leadership is needed. It carries weight. It carries clout. Just so you know, the Bible does tell us very clearly that there are positions in society that God is authorized to be in leadership. The government. Yes, the government. Our government leaders. We are to submit to them. They are in a place of leadership. Husbands, fathers. The Bible says that you're the head of the home. Listen to that. You have been appointed by God to fill the position of leadership in your home. Do you rise up to that? Parents, mom, dad. The Bible teaches that you are in the position of authority over your children. You are to occupy. Little Johnny is not to order you around, Mommy. You're in charge. You have to occupy that place of leadership. The Bible says that those who are in authority in society, teachers at school, bosses at the job, they're in authority. And we must submit to them. And then the Bible also teaches that within the church, there are leaders called to be pastors and elders. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we studied the spiritual gift of leadership. There are some Christians within the body of Christ who have been supernaturally gifted by the Holy Spirit to occupy positions of leadership. They are to be submitted to. They are to be good leaders. But they need to be leaders who are recognized as leaders. They need to be leaders that obviously have people rallying around them. That's a mark of leadership. If you aspire to be a leader, ask yourself, do people follow you? In those areas where you're called to be a leader, make sure that you're acting like a leader. True leadership carries that weight. Characteristic number two. Good leaders. Very important, listen to this. Good leaders are committed to the people that they lead. And even go through personal sacrifice to lead them. A leader must be willing to make sacrifices and to be extra committed to the people and to the work. Look again what it says of Nehemiah in verse 14. He says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year, 12 years, Nehemiah was committed to the people in Jerusalem. He was their governor for 12 years. That's longevity in ministry. And remember that Nehemiah became the governor there out of tremendous personal sacrifice. He was the cupbearer to the king. He lived in the palace. He had a posh position. He had a bright future where he was at. But he heard that the people of God were suffering in a broken down city called Jerusalem, way out in the middle of nowhere. And this man left his career, he left his position, and he came to be with the people of God to help them rebuild those walls. That's commitment. That's sacrifice. And you should expect that of your leaders. Leaders must be committed to the people. Willing to sacrifice, committed to the work. If you're a leader at work, do people count on you? Are you committed to them? Mommy and Daddy, are you committed as leaders to your children and you're committed and you will sacrifice for them
when it's bad and when it's good. Absolute necessity of leadership. In the church, the leaders who are called to be leaders in the church, man, they've got to be committed to the people of God and to the work of the Lord. Jesus spoke of two different types of leaders in John chapter 10. He called one a hireling and the other a shepherd. He said, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. What would you think of a leader who took off when everything got bad? In your business. In your church. Wherever. Leadership must be committed. Leadership must be there in the good and the bad and be willing to sacrifice greatly for the people and for the work. By the way, commitment is something that all of us should have. Don't you agree? We should be committed to the work of the Lord. One person said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. If you find someone who's committed, really committed, that's a leader. If you want to be a leader, you need to be committed and show that sacrifice that's needed. Very important. Mark of a leader. Mark number 3. Good leaders will be humble respecters of people. A good leader will walk in humility. And a good leader will treat people appropriately. A good leader will not use people or manipulate people. A good leader will want the best for the people that they lead. And they'll lead in humility. Look again at the end of verse 14. He says he's been the governor for 12 years, and all during that 12 years, he says at the end, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. The previous governors in Jerusalem were not good leaders. King Artaxerxes was in charge of the land, but he would appoint governors over various regions. And before Nehemiah came around, there were governors over the people there in Jerusalem, and they weren't good. Those people had to pay taxes to the king, but then the governors were also allowed to charge them additional tax for their provision. And those governors prior to Nehemiah were charging excessive tax from the people, getting from them bread, wine, money. And we know that they were doing that just so that they could live an elaborate life of luxury. The previous governors would tax from all the people to make sure that they had the best feast for their guests. That they had red carpet treatment. That they would live in luxury and an elaborate lifestyle above the people whom they led. That's gross. That's not leadership. Nehemiah refused to do that. Nehemiah refused to manipulate his people or to exploit his people so that he could have this great, luxurious lifestyle. That is not leadership. True leaders lead in humility, and true leaders want the very best for the people that they lead. Amen? Leadership in the Bible is so much different than leadership in the world. Jesus said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Humility in a leader. A respecter of people. So necessary. So important. Leadership in the world can be so ugly. You hear stories, and maybe some of you even have these leaders in your company where they're big shots. They're arrogant. They look down on people. They just want to exploit the hard work of their people to line their own pockets. Not so for leadership in the ministry. Not so for leadership among Christians, even Christian leaders in the business place. You need to be different. You need to be humble. And you need to really have a respect for the people that you are leading. Maybe some of you struggle with that. At work or on the job. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're a Christian, you lead in humility. And if you struggle with that, listen, learn from what John the Baptist did. Remember, he was the leader at first, and then Jesus came along, and everybody started following Jesus. Did John the Baptist get all upset? No, in fact, he said, he must increase and I'll decrease. If you want to walk in humility as a Christian, let that be your prayer. Jesus, you increase in me, and I'll decrease. And you lead through me. Very important. One person said, I believe that the first test of a truly great man is his humility. I do not mean by humility doubt of his own power, but really great people have a curious feeling that the greatness is not in them, but through them. And they see something divine in others and are endlessly, foolishly, incredibly merciful. That's a good leader. You find a leader like that, that's a leader to follow. Mark number 4. And this is also important. Good leaders lead from among the people. Not above the people. Good leaders relate with people. They're involved in people's lives. They don't stand aloof from the people and sit in their ivory towers and just make phone calls and tell people what to do. They're involved in people's lives. They're not afraid to roll up their sleeves and get dirty and get in the trenches with the people whom they lead. Oh, look at verse 16. Nehemiah said, indeed, I also continued the work on this wall. And we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. You see that? Nehemiah actually worked on the wall. He was a leader who picked up tools and did work on that wall that they're trying to rebuild. All the servants that were a part of his court, of his household, he put them to work directly on the wall. They were with the people. They were in the trenches with the people. They were leaders among the people, not leaders just above the people. So important. I think Nehemiah is a wonderful example of this. Another great example of this in Scripture. Another great leader is David. King David. David had people that were so loyal to him that they would do anything for him. He was surrounded by people that would just follow him. And you know why? They loved him because he led them. He was a great leader, but he was one of them. He was with them. In fact, when David gets coronated as king, it says, all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. You're our brother, David. We're your brothers. We're with you. He led among them. Jesus was also a fantastic leader, right? Obvious statement. He was respected. He was admired. But you know what? He was also deeply loved by the people that walked closely to him because he was involved in their lives. It wasn't just follow the leader. They loved their leader. He was one of them. So beautiful. Men, if you're a leader, then you also need to be a man among men that you serve. Women leaders, female leaders, you need to be a woman among the women that you lead. You need to relate well with them. You need to be able to identify with them. They need to know that you're one of them. The best leaders have that trait about them. Don't be one of these leaders that's all aloof, standoffish. Come on. That's something all of us can learn, to live our lives wisely, being with people, working with them, identifying well with people, relating to them. Characteristic number five, mark number five, and this is a big no-no. This is something that a leader does not do. A leader does not use their position of leadership to benefit themselves financially or in a personal gain. Again, look at verse 16. This is a key detail. Nehemiah said, "Indeed, I also continued the work on the wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work." They were there, they did the work, and they didn't buy any land. Though they had the resources, they could have bought up all the land. They could have made a killing off of the miserable condition of their own people. And in Nehemiah's position of leadership, he would have been able to find all the land and gobble it up and make a killing. You don't do that. You don't line your pockets from your position of leadership. Nehemiah could have feathered his nest for the rest of his life. He didn't do that. Now, should leaders be paid for their work? Yes, and I believe good leaders should be paid well. But a good leader does not use his position of leadership to rip people off or to get more finances his way or her way, to exploit. So no. This has happened to me. You know the multi-level marketing businesses that are out there? Maybe all of us at one point in our life has been approached. I have nothing against them. I think they're great. People who are involved in them, that's good. But there have been people who have approached me because I'm a pastor. And I've had people actually say, "You need to get a part of our multi-level marketing scheme because you're a pastor and think of all the people that would follow you." And I've had people try to recruit me to be a part of their marketing scheme because they think, "Ooh, big score with the pastor. If the pastor does it, other people will certainly follow." And I'm sad to say, but I've even heard of a church where a pastor did that to his people. He got involved in a marketing level. You know what I'm talking about, like an Amway, we're selling vitamins. Again, nothing against them. But this pastor got involved in it, and he would preach from his pulpit to his people about the necessity of them getting a part of his business. That's sick! That's gross! That is a gross abuse of leadership. No leader does that or should do that. Now, I'm very careful about that. A couple of years ago, I even had a vacuum cleaner salesman show up at my door. You ever had this happen? And he came in and did the whole pour stuff on the carpet and And Kim and I were like, wow, what a cool vacuum cleaner. And we almost thought, well, we'll do it, but we couldn't afford it at that time, so we didn't do it. And before he left, he asked what I did, and I said I was a pastor. And he said, you're a pastor. Give me references. And whoever will buy a vacuum cleaner from your reference, I'll give you $50. Think about it, pastor. And since you're the pastor, if they know that the pastor's referred me to you, oh, they're going to think, pastor wants me to buy a vacuum cleaner. It'll work. It'll be great. It'll be good for business. It'll be good for you. I told them to get lost. Leaders don't do that to the people. Nehemiah could have cleaned up. Leaders must be trusted. Leaders should not use their position of leadership just for their own personal monetary gain. Mark number 6, another important one, they're all important. But a good leader will be generous with the people. Generous. Look at the generosity of Nehemiah again in verse 17. He says, and at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. That which was prepared daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me. And once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions, because the bondage was heavy on the people. He was generous. He could have collected taxes for all that festivity and entertaining guests and entertaining people. He didn't, but he still fed 150 people every day, Jews and rulers and guests. And he had wine served. He had meat prepared. He fed a good number of people every day, and he didn't do it by taking anything from the people. It seems here that he provided all of that out of his own resource, his own provision. Nehemiah, not only, he didn't take what he had every right to take, which was tax. He did that. Also, in addition to that, he gave to the people what he didn't have to give. That's a generous leader. If you're in leadership, you need to be generous with the people. Not frugal. Not down on anybody. How dare you approach me about some resource? Come on. And especially Christian leaders, they need to be generous with the people of God. The Bible says you've been freely given. Freely give. That's how a good leader will operate. And I want you to apply that, those of you who lead in a business. You apply that to the people who work for you. Be generous with the people that serve under you. The most successful businesses are led by managers who give everyone a piece of the success, where everyone's involved and everyone knows if they work hard, they'll receive a good reward. Don't be a boss who, you know, you work for me, I'm going to pay you as little as I possibly can, and I'm just going to get rich off all your hard work. That doesn't work. You need to be generous. That's a good quality of leadership. In your business, be generous with your resources and your time with the people who work for you. Let me tell you, I had a boss in Albuquerque as an engineer who I just greatly admired, and I still admire to this day. He's one of the best leaders I've ever had. And he used to be so concerned that the employees got what they needed to do their job. He was generous. He knew that if he made his employees happy and gave them the equipment that they needed to get their job done, everything would be better. My boss and I were doing some intensive computer algorithms. I mean, we would start these processes off at 7 o'clock each night before we left, and they'd run all night long until 8 or 9 a.m. the next morning, and then we'd come in and we'd check out all the data and do all of our analysis and what like. But those machines, it took them all night to run one process. When we told our boss about how long it was taken, next week, the very next week, we came into our office and there were brand new computers on our desk. The best Pentium computers you could buy at that time. Guess how long it took those computers to do the same process? About 15 minutes. Did our work increase? Were we able to get more done? Yes, we were. It was more pleasurable. We got more done. And you know what? The business that we got as a result of being able to do it quicker, more than paid for those computers. Be generous. Leaders are generous with their time and their resources. Mark number 7, and this is the most important. And this especially applies to us as Christians. Good leaders lead in the fear of the Lord. They lead in the fear of the Lord. Nehemiah, as we've studied, was a man of God. He was a man of prayer. He went to the Lord with all the things that concerned him and the work that he needed to do and the people that he was working with. He always went to the Lord. And with Nehemiah, you had a man of God and a man who led in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean to lead in the fear of the Lord? Nehemiah led as a leader knowing that he would be accountable to God one day for the way he led. He knew that one day he would stand before God and have to give an account to God of what type of a leader he was. Knowing that God is there and that you will answer to Him, that's living in the fear of the Lord. And that's leading in the fear of the Lord. Listen to what it says in Colossians. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Lead in the fear of the Lord. And that impacts the way you lead. Again, look at verse 15. The former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people. But I did not do so because of what? Because of the fear of God. Did Nehemiah behave that way just because he was a nice guy? And you know, he did it because he had a fear of God. He knew that that was inaccurate behavior. He knew that he would be given an account to the Lord on how he took from the people. Leaders operate in the fear of the Lord. And good leaders lead in a way that pleases the Lord. And that's their main concern, is that they please the Lord. I think one of the most precious verses really in the book is in verse 19. Where you just really see Nehemiah's heart. You can see him in this diary entry. He says, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. You see Nehemiah's heart? God, you remember me. You see. I do this for you. I want to please you. As a leader, you want to lead in order to please the Lord. Not necessarily to please all the people that you lead. And by the way, that keeps you going as a leader. Knowing that you work for the Lord, you want to please Him, because some of the people that you lead will forget. Some will not appreciate. Some will not be pleased. All of us who are leaders know that to be true. And all leaders know that we can't please everyone, but you can lead in a way that you're pleasing the Lord, and that's all that matters to you as a leader. You do so in the fear of God, my brother, my sister. You do so to please Him. These are wonderful, wonderful marks, folks. These are beautiful. These are important. Those that are recognized. Leaders that are committed. Leaders that are humble respecters of people. Leaders that lead among the people. Leaders that don't rip off the people. Exploit the people. Leaders that are generous. Leaders that are God-fearers. I tell you, you find men and women like that, you found some good leaders. And I would like you to apply that in your life, in your sphere of influence, in those places where you're called to lead. Be a good leader. Work on these characteristics in your life. It will improve your life. It'll improve the project or whatever that you're leading and working on. Oh, I'm thankful for leadership. I'm thankful for good, godly, gifted leadership. And may there be more of it. I want to close this morning by reminding all of us here this morning of who the best leader is. Who's the best leader? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the best leader that anybody could ever hope to have. He's the leader that you really want to follow. He's the leader that will never let you down. And all the leaders of the church lead him or follow him. He's the leader. Jesus is the captain of our soul. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the best leader. And you know, all these marks of leadership that we just went through, Jesus has them all. Jesus has been appointed to be the leader, the ultimate leader. It says in Philippians 2 concerning Jesus, therefore God also has exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has been appointed the highest place of authority. Oh yes, his leadership carries weight. Wouldn't you agree? The Bible says one day every knee will bow before him. My prayer is that all of us would do it today voluntarily. Amen? Then be forced later. Jesus is absolutely committed to his people and he sacrificed, proving his commitment to his people. Hasn't he? There is nobody who has been more committed to you in your life than Jesus. No one. Nehemiah went to be governor for 12 years. Jesus left heaven for 33 and a half years. Took on human flesh. Walked amongst us. And then Jesus Christ allowed himself to be butchered on a cross so that all of our sins could be forgiven and we could be given salvation and have the hope of heaven. Is Jesus committed to his people? Oh, yes. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ is a humble servant and a respecter of people. When he was here, he said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Believe me, Jesus is not about what he can get from you. Jesus is about all that he can give to you. And how he wants to bless you and change your life. He's committed to you. He's the case study on humility. He's the humble servant. He's a great leader. Jesus identifies well with people. In fact, he's walked amongst us. He can relate with people. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." God experienced the human condition. He can relate. He's walked in the trenches with us. He did not come to exploit us. He came to love us, to show us how to live. Jesus, our great leader, is generous. Who's more generous than Jesus? No one. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Jesus will give us a brand new life. He'll give us the hope of heaven. The Bible says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Oh, we have a generous leader. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. In all this talk about leadership this morning, I want to make sure that every one of us have Jesus as our ultimate leader. Those of you who are in leadership, remember your ultimate leader is Jesus, right? Stay close to Him. And those of you who are in leadership, you don't point people to just follow you. Who do you want to point people to? To Jesus. Maybe there's someone here this morning whose life needs some real good quality leadership about right now. You've been trying to lead your own life. Or maybe you've been trying to find leadership from other sources of leadership, worldly leadership, gurus or whatever, other sorts of religions. Listen, the best leader you can have is Jesus. He'll take your life. He'll change it. He'll bless you. He'll forgive you of all your sins. The Bible says He's the Good Shepherd who will take you into good pastures and lead you beside quiet waters, still waters. And He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what makes you tick. He knows exactly how He crafted you and made you. He knows exactly your personality. He made you. He knows what's best for you. He'll lead you so tenderly, so skillfully. There's no better leader than the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for Him to become your leader, He has to first become your Savior. You must come to the Lord and you must admit to Him that you're a sinner, that you've blown it. You must acknowledge that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. And if you will invite Him into your life to forgive you of all your sins, He will be your Savior. He'll make you born again. He'll clean you up. He'll put you on the road that leads to heaven and He'll lead you. Christian, let's be the best leaders that we can be. And as leaders, let's point people to Jesus Christ. And this morning, right now, I want to give anyone in here an opportunity to give their heart to Jesus right now. Just like that song we sang earlier. Lord, take my heart and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Have you given Jesus your heart yet? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank You for Your tremendous, loving, gracious, powerful leadership in our lives. I thank You for the wonderful example that You are
And Lord, I want to thank you, first of all, this morning for the challenge that you've given each one of us this morning. I do pray that we as your people would be skillful in life, skillful in leadership, skillful in getting along with others. And I pray, Lord, that you would use our lives to lead others to you. And then, Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who just needs to give their heart to you right now. You need a leader. You need a Savior. We're going to sing part of that hymn, Come Thou Fount. We're going to especially sing that song, Here's My Heart, that chorus, that verse. Come and seal it. Seal it for those courts above. And I want that to be the prayer of all of our hearts as we close this service. You can just remain seated.